Amen. Thank you for that. I'll read our text verse again, and then we'll flip over to the book of Genesis tonight. James chapter number 2 and verse 23. Again, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Now, let's go back to the book of Genesis and show you why he was called the friend of God. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7 through 8 is where we will start tonight. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 7 through 8. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7 and 8. The Bible says this, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And watch this, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And watch this, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." And so in verse number 7, we see that the Lord appeared to Abraham. So he had a personal meeting with the Lord. And we find that Abraham built there an altar and who had appeared unto him. And then verse number 8, we find that he moved from that place and moved to a different place, but he didn't quit walking with God. But as soon as he got there and pitched his tent there in Bethel, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, he built an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And so we find here that Abraham had a consistent walk with God. It didn't matter where he was at, he was going to take time to build an altar and to meet with God. And can I tell you, sometimes, even in a church setting, sometimes folks will get a little bit out of sorts about something, and they think, well, I think I just need to find a different church, because after all, I had this problem here at this church, so I'm going to go across town and find another church. But the thing about it is, it wasn't the church that was the problem. It was the fact that we had a walk with God problem. Abraham walked with God there in the beginning, but then he moved, but he didn't quit walking with God. He built there an altar also, and then he called upon the name of the Lord. Take your Bibles, Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. Genesis chapter number 13, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had," and watch this, "and Lot with him into the south." And of course, Lot was Abraham's nephew. And so now, of course, Abraham had a long-standing relationship with God. Anywhere he went, he was building an altar. He was calling upon the name of the Lord. And he didn't point at the place. He didn't point at people. He was just going to be consistent with walking with God. And then here we find that he and his wife and his nephew Lot went up out of Egypt and went into the south. Verse number 2, "And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold." Of course, we see that God was blessing him because, I believe, because of his walk with God. Verse number 3, "And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai." So now he finds himself going back to somewhere he had been before. And then verse 4 says, "And under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord." So we find once again that Abraham is going to the altar, that place where he met with God, and he's calling on the name of the Lord. Now take your Bibles in Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 1 through verse number 3. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1 through 3. "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face," and watch this, "and God talked with him." And so we find that several passages of scripture where Abraham is walking with God. He is building an altar. He's calling on the name of the Lord. He's revisiting his walk with God often. And now we find that God is talking to him. By the way, your walk with God is a two-way street. There needs to be time where you read God's word and you hear from God. You know, you hear from God, but there also needs to be some time where you talk to God. But it's a two-way street. We find that going on. And so God looked at Abraham. He said, "That's my friend. have a close relationship with him because we're on good talking terms. You won't have a very good relationship or friendship if you're not talking to one another, not sharing with one another. Your walk with God is very important. And so tonight we're going to talk about what a difference a walk with God makes. Now, I spelled the scriptures out, and that way you wouldn't, you know, kind of go between Genesis 18 and 19. But we have a story, a record of two different stories, very similar in their account. One of them is with Abraham, and another one involves Lot. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 through 8 outlines this story or this record with Abraham, who, by the way, had had a consistent walk with God. And then in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 through 3, we see the record of where we have the same similar situation, but very different response, very different activity on the behalf of Lot. Simply because he didn't have a walk with God. And we're going to do a side-by-side study to pull some truth here. But basically, the story is like this. People came to both of them, they fixed a meal, and they ate. That's the similarities, and that's a good story to start out with when you're sitting down to eat. And but Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible, in verse 1 and 2, we find that the Lord and men of God came. There in verse 1 and 2, and the Lord appeared unto him. And then later on it says, and lo, three men stood by him. And so the Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So we find in verse number 1 that the Lord is appearing unto Abraham. Listen, that was no accident. Why? Because there were several other times that the Lord was appearing to Abraham. Those times where he had built that altar, those times where he was calling on the name of the Lord, those times when God was talking to him. And so it was nothing different. This was just a normal everyday occurrence that God was meeting with him. But then in verse 2, we find that three men come and stand by him. A similar passage of scripture there in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 through 3. In verse number 1, we only see that two representatives of God came. The Bible says there in Genesis chapter 19, verse number 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. No mention that the Lord came to meet with Lot. Why? Because Lot didn't have a habit of walking with God. He didn't have, there's no record in the Bible where he built an altar. There's no record in the Bible where he called on the name of the Lord. No record in the Bible where God talked to him. It was just these two representatives came. So a very similar story. People are coming. But in Abraham's case, we find the Lord and men of God coming. And then with Lot, we only see the representatives of God coming. And can I tell you, you can surround yourself with a preacher. You can surround yourself with a bus captain. You can surround yourself with a Sunday school teacher. You can surround yourself with godly parents. But can I tell you, they are no substitute for your walk with God and no substitute for my walk with God. You can sit under chapel services in the academy. You can sit under chapel services in the college, but it's no substitute for your walk with God. You can sit in our Bible college and listen to Bible being taught about different subjects. But can I tell you, that's no substitute for walking with God. And so here we find Lot had no walk with God. And so, yes, he had representatives of God that came, but he did not have the Lord's presence. And so this is your first blank here. The one who walks with God will experience the Lord's presence. And that doesn't mean that these Sunday school teachers, these godly parents, a Christian school principal, a bus captain, a college professor, the pastor himself, a choir director. It doesn't mean that these people can't put godly influence in our lives, but it does not mean that you're going to experience the Lord's presence if just because you surround yourself with those people. Is it any wonder that we have people that they grow up in a good Christian home, they go to a good independent fundamental Baptist church, your mom and dad sacrifices to put them through a Christian school, and then as soon as they walk across this platform and receive their diploma, they never darken the doors of the church again. Now, why did that happen? It wasn't the environment. It wasn't the parents' influence. It wasn't the godly influence down at the church house. It was the fact that they were just in the mode of, and they were surrounded by representatives, but they never experienced the Lord's presence for themselves because they did not have a habit of walking with God. You want to experience the Lord's presence, and guess what? You're going to have a personal time with God. Well, I'm having a tough time. Have you talked to the Lord about it? Have you talked to him about it? Have you spent time? Have you had a meeting with God? You know, I think of the maniac of Gadara there in the book of Mark. And people tried to tame him. He was out of control. He lived out among the tombs. And they tied him up with chains and he would break them asunder. He says, out of control. There's no hope for him. But he had a meeting with Jesus. And the Bible said they came back and they found him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Why? Because he had a meeting with Jesus. The Bible talks about the disciples, that they were unlearned and ignorant men, yet they sat up and paid attention and took notice that they'd been with Jesus. Can somebody pay attention and sit up and take notice in your life that you have the presence of God in your life? Can I tell you, you can live down at the church house, but that's no substitute for the Lord's presence. By the way, when crisis hits our lives, can I tell you, it's going to be the Lord that we go to. You can call your mama, you can call your daddy, you can call your grandmama and your grandpapa and your aunt and your uncle. You can call the pastor, you can call all the pastoral staff. But can I tell you, the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to offer comfort. Holy Spirit's the one that's going to give you answers. Listen, that's the peace that passeth understanding. A pastor can't give you that. A staff can't give you that. A Sunday school teacher can't give you that. The Holy Spirit of God can give you that if you're meeting with him. And so we see the very first difference between Uncle Abraham and Nephew Lot was the fact that the Lord showed up in Abraham's life. Now, yes, thank God for those representatives of God that came in Lot's life, but we find no record of the Lord's presence. And can I tell you, sometimes you ever had a problem in your life and you talk to your friends about it, but they don't have anything that can offer any consolation or comfort? Or you have a situation in your life and you think, boy, if I could just talk to somebody about it, I'll feel better about it. And then after talking to them, you feel worse. Why? Because it's the Lord that's the one that can move in and can soothe the heart. He's the great physician. He's the one that can bind up a wound. He's the one that can comfort a troubled heart. He's the one that can give direction when you don't know where to turn. He's the one. But oftentimes, he's the very one that we ought to go to. He's the very one that we forsake and don't. By the way, Lot was raised under Uncle Abraham's. He saw that altar. He saw him call on the name of the Lord, but he chose not to have a personal walk with God. Can I tell you, young people, you cannot ride off the coattails of your youth director. You cannot ride on the coattails of your parents. Say, well, they read their Bible and I'm doing okay. Are you reading your Bible? Am I reading my Bible? Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you trying to apply the Bible and go soul winning? Listen, we can't ride off the coattails of our pastor. Well, I'm a member of Parkside Baptist Church. Well, what are you doing to make Parkside Baptist Church a good church? What am I doing to make it a good church? And by the way, your service for the Lord will be short-lived if you don't have a personal walk with God. You ever heard of somebody getting burned out? Well, I'll tell you why they got burned out, because they weren't led into Jesus. That's why. And so the very first difference, what a difference a walk with God makes, because the Lord's presence will show up in the moment that you need him. And then number two, we see in Genesis chapter 18, we find that Abraham was sitting at home. In Genesis chapter 19, we see that Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And so in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and he sat in the tent door. He sat in the tent door, but Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. Can I say number two here tonight? The one who walks with God will desire to be in right places. He'll desire to be in right places. Now, the Bible talks about the woman there in Proverbs, that she's stubborn and her feet abide not in her house. Said, well, you know, listen, some of you are homebodies and some of you like to be on the go. But can I tell you all, I have a desire to be in a right place. Can I tell you, Parkside Baptist Church, every time the doors open, is a right place. Can I tell you, on Saturday soul winning or Thursday soul winning, it's a right place. The Bible says you ought to go into your prayer closet and pray to God. That's a right place. The Bible says you ought to have a time of day and you ought to have a place where you meet with God and read God's word and spend time with him. Do you have that place? You ought to have a desire to be in the right place. But it's amazing, as many people as I talk to or talk to me, and can I tell you, one common denominator where most people struggle, and it's their walk with God. They don't have a problem in the area of soul winning. They're winning people by the hundreds. They don't have a problem serving. I mean, we got some of the most servantest people I've ever met in my life. We don't have a problem in that area. Most of us are faithful to church. We don't have a problem in that area. But it's that private time that we have a struggle in. Because I think far too many times we worry so much about what other people think about us and what God knows about us. And the Bible says that you'll get into your private place and you'll spend time with me. The Bible says I'll reward you openly. But if you do it to be seen of me, it says you got your reward. Can I tell you, listen, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for those who love him. The Bible says he's able to do far above that which we ask or think. But are you asking? Are you asking? Are we spending time with God? And so here in Abraham, he's here sitting at home. So, well, that's boring. Yeah, but the thing about it is, it was the right place. By the way, your home ought to be a little heaven on earth.
That's good.
Amen. Not a little where the booger man lives. Amen. We're supposed to be getting ready for heaven. Amen. And so can I tell you, your home ought to be, listen, if your home's not a little heaven on earth and it's all arguing and getting upset and the kids are rebelling and the teenagers are back talking, can I tell you, God don't want that to happen. You ought to want your home to be a right place. And y'all, listen, but here we find that Lot, he was sitting in the gate of Sodom. He was not sitting in a right place. You know, Dr. Gray that just preached here Sunday night when we was in Bible college, he'd say this all the time, I may not always be what I'm supposed to be, but I can be where I'm supposed to be. And can I tell you, we ought to make sure that we have that schedule and that we're in our walk with God place and we're praying and we're spending time with God. And yes, show up to church. Yes, show up to soul winning. But don't forsake that personal, intimate relationship with God. By the way, usually when we've heard preachers say this, usually when we backslide in our heart long before it comes out here.
Yes, sir.
Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Before it ever came out, and guess what? It was right up here in the heart. And can I tell you, we can play church for a while, but can I tell you, that'll get real old if our heart's not in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so first of all, we see a difference that a walk with God makes is that one who walks with God will experience the Lord's presence. Secondly, we see that one who walks with God will desire to be in right places. By the way, your flesh will take you to places that you don't got no business going to. But the Lord is going to take you to places that he wants you to be in. By the way, the devil is going to fight you to be in the right place, and he's going to lure you into a wrong place. But can I tell you, if you're walking with God, you stand a better chance. Amen. You stand a better chance of staying in the right place. And then number three, we see here in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham, the Bible says that it was in the heat of the day. But in Lot's case, it was at even. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 1, the Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. In other words, it was the morning time, and he was up in Adam. In Genesis chapter 19, though, verse number 1, it says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. Amen. He was sitting at the gate at even. It was the evening time. I think of the story of David and Bathsheba where he didn't keep his schedule. He wasn't where he was supposed to be doing what he was supposed to do. It was time for kings to go out to battle. And the Bible says it was the evening tide and he managed to pull himself up out of bed and he walked right into the devil's trap. Amen. And the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. And the Bible says he lays snares at us. Why does a snare oftentimes get us? Why does the Bible even mention a besetting sin? I'll tell you why it mentions it, because guess what? We got to always keep our guard up. Because I don't care how much you walk with God or don't walk with God, guess what? All of us are going to have trouble with the flesh at times. And can I tell you, if we're not ready for it, and we're not where we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing, we'll walk right smack dab into a trap. You know, I tell them in RU on Friday night, I said, listen, just about the time that you think you got a little bit of success under your belt, guess what? You better watch out because the devil's right around the corner fixing to sucker punch you. And can I tell you, we can never get to the place where we ride on youth conference. Boy, we're all riding on youth conference or riding on camp or riding on a Baptist leadership conference or riding on the high. After every great victory, imagine, God, listen, you're going to find yourself right smack dab in a battle. By the way, that happened in Jesus' life right after he was baptized. The Bible says, then the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And can I tell you, that's what the devil wants to do in your life. And sometimes God will allow you to experience things, to test you, to see where you're at. Because you thought you was hot stuff, and you found out real quick that you weren't as hot as what you thought you were. But can I tell you, he sat in the heat of the day. Lot was there at even. So the one who walks with God will do things when God wants them to. The Holy Spirit, you get busy during the day. You laid your head down on your pillow at night, and then the Holy Spirit says, hello, you didn't even read God's word today. But God, I'm tired. You didn't read God's word today. But God, I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning. But you didn't read your Bible, and the Holy Spirit will get on to you about not reading your Bible. Do you listen to him? Or do you just roll over and snooze? By the way, if we were where we were supposed to do, doing what we're supposed to do, guess what? We would have already walked with God. Amen. Or maybe at night is your walk with God. Well, don't get so busy that you're too busy for God. Because can I tell you, you won't be able to continue in the arm of the flesh. The Bible says it'll fail you. You'll not be able to continue in the arm of the flesh serving God and doing what you're supposed to do without that personal, intimate relationship with God. And so we see that Abraham was in the heat of the day. Lot was at even. And God wants us to do things when he wants them to do. So don't put off Bible reading. Don't put off prayer. Well, I can't go this week, but I'll catch it up next week. And next thing you know, it turns into 2 and 3 weeks, and we get satisfied. We get in a rut. We show up, perhaps. We go out. We don't talk to anybody. And therefore, we have opportunity to witness, but we don't even have enough spiritual fervor enough to talk to somebody. All because we don't do things when God wants us to. And then we notice in Genesis chapter 18, we find the Bible tells us that Abraham was looking. In Genesis chapter 19, in verse number 1, the Bible says that Lot saw them. Genesis chapter number 18, in verse number 1, the Bible says, and he lift up his eyes and looked. In verse 1 of chapter 19, talking about Lot, the Bible says, and Lot seeing them. It's a whole lot different between seeing and looking. And so, next thing I want to say this, the one who walks with God will look for spiritual opportunities. They will look for spiritual opportunities. Abraham, he didn't just see them, but he lifted up his eyes and he looked and he saw, and then the Bible says he sprang into action. See, if you're looking for spiritual opportunity, you're going to spring into action. But if you see something that needs to be done, guess what? If you're not walking with God the way you do, then you say, well, so-and-so will do it. You walk down the hall and you see something, oh, that needs to be done. And so you're quick to tell somebody else, but you're not going to lift your pinky finger to do it. Can I tell you, it goes back to your walk with God. And we'll find out here in just a moment that God, listen, Jesus, when he came, he said, I did not come to be ministered unto, I came to minister. He said, listen, I took on the form of a servant. He said he was in the form of a man, but he took on the form of a servant. He was the King of Kings, and yet he chose to be a servant. Right. And the Bible says he humbled himself being obedient unto the cross. And so if our Lord Jesus could look for spiritual opportunity and say, listen, I'm looking for somebody in need. Guess what? If you don't have a walk with God, then guess what? Your eyes will be stuck on you. Right. Won't be looking at nobody else. And so we find here that Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, but Lot saw them, but he wasn't quick to go take care of it. In other words, people who walk with God are going to be trying to get in and not get out. Trying to get into church, not get out. Try to get into a ministry, not get out. Try to invest in soul winning, not get out of it. Look for spiritual opportunities. Then we find, number 5 there, we find that Abraham, in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 2, the Bible says he ran. But in Genesis chapter 19, Lot, the Bible says he rose. In Genesis chapter 18, it says, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them. But the Bible says that Lot rose up to meet them. Same story. People coming to Abraham, people coming to Lot. A meal was prepared, and they sat down and eat. But a lot of different things are happening in Abraham's life because he had a personal walk with God that were not happening in Lot's life because he did not have a personal walk with God. Now, what was that? Moses ran. So he lifted up his eyes and he looked and when he saw them, he ran to meet them. In other words, he ran out there to meet them. But Lot, all he did was he rose up and waited for them to come. In other words, he wasn't in a hurry to help nobody. He said, well, I've got company, but I'm just going to sit here and wait for them to arrive. A totally different response. Can I say this next? The one who walks with God will run to the man of God, not stand still or run from the man of God. The one who walks with God will run to the man of God not stand still or run from the man of God. So if you're walking with God the way that you ought to, and you have a problem or you have a question he's answering, guess what? You're going to make a beeline to the man of God to pick his brain. You're not going to just sit still and do nothing about it. By the way, when spiritual problems come up in your life, if you sit still, listen, you'll never stay where you're at. You're going to go forward or you're going to go backwards. You'll never stay where you're at spiritually. Well, my home used to be good, but we've stopped doing those things that made it good. You say, well, my ministry, I used to enjoy it, but I don't enjoy it no more, because you stopped doing those things that helped you to enjoy it. By the way, if you're walking with the Lord the way that you should, then guess what? You're going to run and have an urgency about you to get things done, and an urgency about you to take care of things. When you receive godly counsel, guess what? You're going to run to the man of God and find out what he thinks, instead of going to him and saying, well, here's what I'm doing. Listen, that's not counsel, going in and telling him what we want to do. Counsel is, preacher, what do you think I ought to do? By the way, most of our problems we could sort out ourselves if we were walking with God the way we should. Because there is the Holy Spirit of God. He can't give you answers. But, you know, there's going to be times where you can't figure out the answer. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. Say, well, Brother Craig, I'm acknowledging him, but I still don't have direction. I still don't have the answers for my situation. And that's where you go to the man of God and say, man of God, help me. Amen. By the way, you ought rather to go to the man of God who's going to give you counsel from the Word of God, which is tried and true, than trying to go get counsel somewhere else, somebody that's not saved, or maybe they're not living for God, or they don't believe the Bible. They're not going to give you Bible counsel. Can I tell you, God has the answer for every problem that you'll ever face, and it's found right here in the Word of God. Why do I want to go to somebody that's not going to give me Bible principle? Amen. Bible is what's going to make the difference. And can I tell you, personally, in our life, think what we ought to do, if we have a walk with God, then guess what? We're going to run to the man of God. We're not just going to sit still. Here, Lot, he didn't have a walk with God. He stood up, but guess what? He didn't get in a hurry. He didn't run like Abraham did. Next, we see number six, that we find that Abraham lived in a tent. And then Lot lived in a house. Said, well, what difference does that make, whether you live in a mansion or a trailer? Well, I'm not saying that if you live in a trailer, I live in a trailer, and I'd like to think I have a little bit of walk with God. But what I am saying is let me tell you what I'm saying here. Look at verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 18. The Bible says that when he saw them, he ran to meet them. And then the Bible says he was in the heat of the day, and he right there he was in the tent door. And then in verse number 2 of chapter 19, talking about Lot, and he said, behold, now my lord's turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Let me give you this. The one who walks with God will be satisfied with their needs being met, not necessarily their wants. The one who walks with God will be satisfied with their needs met, not necessarily their wants. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need, singular. Well, Brother Craig, I've been praying about my needs, plural. Yeah, but God said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What's your greatest need? The Lord. By the way, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, it says, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you, when you have Jesus, you have everything you need. But because we live in, and we're spoiled, because we live in America and we have all of our wants, and it's so easy just to go out and purchase it, a lot of times we don't really see that we have a need for God. So why walk with God? Why read my Bible and pray? I have everything I need. Can I tell you, God can knock you, he can serve up humble pie. He can knock you off your feet. Amen. He can take some of that we our security blanket. He can take that security blanket away. And then guess what? Then we'll cry out to him. And so when Abraham was satisfied with just living in a tent. Now, that doesn't mean that if he'd have had a house that he'd have been better off or not, but he was satisfied with a tent. Lot here, of course, was living in a house. Nothing wrong with living in a house. But what I am saying is that Abraham didn't have to have a house and a car and a 401k and a retirement fund, and he didn't have to have a huge savings account in order to be happy or feel fulfilled or be satisfied. He was satisfied with his needs being met, Not necessarily. Now, does God want you to have your desires and what you want? Absolutely. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But can I tell you, delighting in him comes prior to your desires. But what we want to do is we want our desires met without delighting in him. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But what we do is we search for all the things. As long as I got my things, I'm happy and I'm comfortable and I'm okay, and I don't really need God. Rather than, listen, at the end of your life, you'll have nothing. Because the Bible says you came into the world naked, and naked you shall return. You won't be able to park no U-Haul behind your hearse. Not going to take any of it with you. He said, listen, instead of investing in something that's temporal, that's going to burn up, and you're going to leave behind to a bunch of kids that don't even appreciate it and going to spend it all in one weekend, instead of leaving it behind, listen, invest in God's bank. Amen. In the eternal. But guess what? If you're not satisfied with your needs being met, then guess what? You won't invest in the eternal as much as what you should. And so he was satisfied. So listen, you can find satisfaction in the Lord when you're spending time with him. But if you're not spending time with him, then guess what? You want things to fill that void that only God can fill. Number seven, in both cases, the Bible says Abraham bowed himself toward the ground, and Lot bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So same thing there. A lot of differences, but something same. That was an outward show. Guess what? We can look like we're doing okay, but only you and God know whether or not you're truly walking with him. Can I say number eight? He presented Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 3. He presented himself as their servant who wanted to please them. Bible says, and said, my Lord, showed him some respect. If now I have found favor in thy sight, in other words, I hope I'm pleasing you, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Now notice the different response that Lot gave to the two men that came to him. He says, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night. So yes, he mentioned the fact that he was servant, but there was no respect there. He didn't call him Lord. And then there was no trying to please them. There was no, hey, I hope I found favor in your sight. Do you have all your wants and your desires met? There was a difference there. And so Abraham presented himself as their servant who wanted to please them, but Lot presented himself as their servant, name only, not in practice. In other words, he wasn't practicing being a servant. He was just wearing the name of servant. And can I tell you, we have a lot of folks that, boy, they'd be satisfied with having a title, but they don't want to do the behind-the-scenes stuff that makes it all work. And can I tell you, serving God behind the scenes is just as important as serving God in the limelight. And if all I'm doing is serving God in the limelight and I'm not doing anything behind the scenes, then guess what? Listen, you got your reward. And so next, the one who walks with God will strive to please, not just obey. So what about young people living in the home? You could obey or you could strive to please. Total difference. Obeying is doing what I'm told. Striving to please is going beyond and doing it ahead of time because you know what they expect. You know what your chores are. You know they want the room cleaned up and the bed made. And you know if it's your job to wash the dishes or do the laundry. So instead of waiting for them to ask you five times before you do it and say, well, I obeyed. I got around to it eventually. How about strive to please? Amen. Go ahead and do what's expected and then go and say, hey, is there anything else I can do? That's a servant's heart. Where does that servant's heart come from? It comes from a personal walk with God. Next, number nine. Abraham was gracious, kind, thoughtful, and tactful. He said this in verse number 3, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. But in Lot's case in Genesis chapter 19, he was bossy and demanding. He said in verse number 2 through 3, he says, wash your feet, and ye shall, notice he's getting kind of demanding, ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. Now, I know there's no young person that's ever pressed upon their parents greatly to get their way. I know that's never happened. Amen. But can I tell you, why does that happen? A lack of walk with God. Or maybe you're a college student and you're pressing on God to do this, thus, and so, rather than asking God, if it be your will, I'd like for this to happen, but God, I want your will to be done. See, a walk with God will change your attitude. It'll change your demeanor. It'll change the way that you talk to people. It'll help you to be gracious and give somebody something they don't deserve. It'll help you to be kind and forgiving and not bitter and hateful. It'll help you to be thoughtful and think of somebody else other than yourself. And you'll learn to be tactful. You know, listen, you know what button to push with your husband or wife. Well, I just had to say something. Yeah, and then you pay for it 3 days later. Listen, you didn't have to say it, but because we didn't have any Holy Spirit control, we weren't walking with God, then our flesh won out, and our flesh controlled us. And so we see this. The one who walks with God will have a right attitude and actions towards others. The one who walks with God will have a right attitude and actions towards others. You ever smarted off? You ever been disrespectful? You never not said thank you? You ever not said please? You ever not said yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am? Have you ever done that? Probably because you weren't on a good talking basis with the Lord. Guess what? You weren't on a good talking basis with somebody that you could see. And so a walk with God made this difference in Abraham's life, where he was very gracious, kind, thoughtful, and tactful. But because Lot didn't have a walk with God and he wanted to be in charge, he was very bossy and demanding. And he said, listen, wash your feet, you shall rise up early. All right. And then number 10, we find in Abraham's case in Genesis chapter 18 with his visitors, he wanted to fetch some water and wash their feet. In verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 19, in Lot's case, the Bible says, just says, wash your feet. In Genesis chapter 18, or Genesis chapter 19, there in verse number 2, it says, and he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And wait a minute, Abraham got to run. He said, let me go fetch you some water, some fresh water. Not this dirty water that me and Sarah just washed our feet in. Let me go get you some fresh water so you can wash your feet. He had a servant's attitude. But Lot said, hey, go wash your feet. He said, the water's there. I know it's dirty. I just, you know, washed my toe jam feet in it. But that's all right. It's there. You know, you want, go do for yourself. The one who walks with God, here's your blank, go the extra mile and do more than is required. The one who walks with God will go the extra mile and do more than is required. And Jewish tradition, if a Roman soldier asked them to walk a mile, he said, walk twice. God was trying to teach them, hey, go the extra mile, do more than what's required. Why? To try to be a testimony to the lost world. Are we a testimony to the lost world that we're a servant and we want to help and we're going to put your needs before my own? Or are we selfish and only wanting to do what is required? Do just the bare minimum and hope we make it through. Can I tell you, a walk with God will increase your want to go the extra mile and do a little bit more than is required. What about this, number 11? In Genesis chapter 18, we find that Abraham was interested in taking care of their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs. In Genesis chapter 18, verse number 5, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. That was mental. You ever been on a long trip? Amen. And you just want to sit down in your lazy boy and just take a load off your mind. Right? You want a cup of coffee or a glass of sweet tea and bring me my fuzzy slippers. Amen. Wow, you need some. You had a long day. You had a lot on your mind. You want to take a load off. Let me sit down and enjoy myself and rest a while. That was mental. He said, listen, rest yourselves under this tree. He says, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread. That was taking care of the physical need. And then he says, and comfort ye your hearts. That was taking care of spiritual and emotional. Realize the Holy Spirit's the only one that can comfort, but it was an emotional need. He needed some comfort because he had a long journey. And he says, after that you shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. But in Genesis chapter 19, in verse number 3, we find that Lot was only interested in taking care of their physical needs. The Bible says he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. And so he went out and made a feast. He took care of their physical, but nothing about, hey, sit down under this tree and rest a while. Nothing about, hey, sit down here and comfort yourselves. Nothing about that. So next, the one who walks with God will use their physical needs as a means to care for their spiritual needs. The one who walks with God will use their physical needs as a means to care for their spiritual needs. Oftentimes you'll see Jesus feeding the 5,000. He was having a big day with a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. He blessed it and broke it. And can I tell you, I mean, he took care of their physical need, but while they were sitting down having a fish sandwich, he gave them the gospel. You find people where the sick were being healed, and the blind were being healed, and the lame were being healed. That wasn't just so we could have a hospital. No, he met a physical need, and many times he'd look at a lame man and he said, "Listen, rise up and walk." And he says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." He used the taking care of the physical need as an opportunity to take care of a far greater need, which is spiritual. I'm all for folks building libraries and hospitals and schools if it's for the purpose of getting the gospel out. Take care of we have a food pantry. Now, why do we do that? We have a food pantry. We're going to take care of a physical need. But while you're here, let's talk to you about the greatest need, and that's to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And so the one Abraham who had a walk with God, he took care of all those needs. But Lot, who didn't have a walk with God, he was just interested. Hey, I'll feed you a meal. Number 12, we see that Abraham recruited others to help him in the work. In verse 6 through 8, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah. So he got Sarah, he's got his wife involved. He said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran into the herd, so he got the cattle involved. And he fetched a calf tender and good. Now, that cattle, he didn't want to be involved, but he got him involved anyway. And then it says, and he gave it unto a young man. So now he's got a third person involved. And he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And so he's getting all these people. He said, "Listen, I got a job to do, and I need help to do it." Now, why did he realize that? Because he had needs in his spiritual life, and he went to the Lord for the Lord's help, because there were some things in his life, his personal life, his private life, he could not take care of. He needed the Lord's help. And so because he knew that, hey, sometimes I need help from the Lord, then guess what? Sometimes I'm going to need help on this physical work too. But then notice here at number 12 under Genesis chapter 19, we find that Lot did it all by himself. The Bible says, and he made them a feast. He made them. In other words, he didn't get nobody involved. He didn't get Sister Lot involved. He didn't get little Bambino Lots involved. He said, "I'll take care of it." Are you a one-man show? No wonder you get so tired. No wonder you get so depressed. The job's too big for you. But if you were walking with God the way you should, then God would bring it to remembrance. Hey, just like you need my help, then guess what? You're going to need the help of others to get the job done. So next, the one who walks with God will recruit others and get help, and not be self-reliant or self-sufficient. The one who walks with God will recruit others and get help and not be self-reliant or self-sufficient. Well, if it's going to get done right, I got to do it myself. You'll be one weary person. Bible says, "Be you not weary in well-doing." But guess what? You're going to be one that gets weary because you try to do it all by yourself. And then if you ever do, if the preacher said, "Well, listen, you might need help with this project," then guess what? You get other people involved, but you won't appreciate it because you want it done exactly to the T of how you do it. Well, ain't nobody like you, thank God. And nobody's exactly like me, thank the Lord. Guess what? You'll get more work done. It may not be exactly to your perfectionist level, but at least you'll be able to rest better at night, and you won't be so exhausted, amen, that you don't want to do it no more. So a walk with God got a whole bunch of people involved, but the one who didn't have a walk with God, he tried to do it all by himself because he was the only one that could do it. That's called pride. The one who walks with God will recruit others, he'll get help and not be self-reliant or self-sufficient. That'll be the same type of person that says, "Well, I'm not going to go to the preacher. I'm going to figure it out myself." Self-reliant, self-sufficient, full of pride. And that's why you keep struggling with the same things, because you're so self-reliant and so full of pride. And I can handle this myself. I don't need spiritual counsel. I don't need to share this in a prayer group to get prayer for. No, I'm going to handle it. Well, how's that working for you? I know it don't work too good in my life. Amen. And then we finally get exhausted and we share it with somebody. Say, "Well, I wish you'd have told me that." You know, like you have a need. You know, "I wish you'd have told me that. I just sold that in the garage sale. I'd have given it to you for free." Because you were so self-reliant, "I'm going to figure this out, and I'm going to fix the problem myself." And there's some problems you just can't fix. Some problems only the Lord can fix. But can I tell you, in some cases, you need other people getting involved to fix the problem. Number 13, we find this. In Abraham, because he had a walk with God, this was a very urgent matter to him to help these people that had come, and he passed on that urgency to others. Watch it in Genesis chapter 18, verse 6 and 7, and Abraham hastened. Got in a hurry into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly." He said, "I'm in a hurry, Miss Sarah, and I need you to be in a hurry. Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran. Now why did he have, why did he run in this case? Because he ran at the very first. Amen. He ran to meet them. There was urgency about him to meet a need. And so now we find that now in his private world, now he was out in the street running from the tent door out to meet these men. But now you find him in the privacy of his own home. He still had urgency about him. And the Bible says this, and Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man, and he hastened to dress it. So guess what? Because this was an urgent matter to get it done, he wasn't going to procrastinate. He wasn't going to put it off till tomorrow. He had an urgency about him. And then guess what? He got the job done pretty quick, and he passed that urgency on to others. But notice this. In Genesis chapter 19, there was absolutely no sense of urgency in Lot's life. The Bible says that he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread. You know, not a whole lot of urgency there. He didn't pass urgency on to anybody else because he didn't get anybody else involved. And what made the difference? A personal walk with God. You see, when the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart during a service, we ought to have some urgency. We can't wait to get down to the altar and pray to the Lord about it. And we can't wait to get out of the church building to do what he told us to do. Somebody who doesn't walk with God, they don't make it, you know, oh, there's too many people kneeling in the aisle. There's just no way I can get out there and do, you know, pray to the Lord about that. Or we will meander down here and we'll pray about it, and then we go out the doors and we don't do nothing about it. There's no urgency about us. Why? Because we don't have a personal walk with God. Listen, we ought to have an urgency about us, and when God says it, guess what? I ought to get busy about it. Listen, when you make mistakes and you have faults in your failures and you sin, listen, David was the man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, but because when he was confronted with his sin, he was quick to get right about it. Bible says if you harbor, you harbor sin in your life or iniquity in your heart, you regard iniquity in your heart, he says, I'll not hear you. You hinder your prayers if you're not quick about getting things right. That ought to be an urgency in his walk with God. So next, the one who walks with God will have an urgency and zeal about them. By the way, it used to be urgent and had a zeal about soul winning, but now, and take it or leave it. Can I tell you where the problem lies tonight? It's in your walk with God. It used to be an urgency. Boy, I can't wait to get to that ministry so I can serve people. And now it's, what time is it? You know, doesn't the preacher know it's time to go? Yeah, we got urgency, but to go do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. But when you're walking with God, you have an urgency and a zeal about you to do the work of God. Last one is this, number 14. We find Abraham, who had a walk with God. He was interested in their needs being met. In verse number 8, it says, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them. Watch this. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So get the picture here. He sets the meal down there before these 3 men. And then the Bible says he went over by the tree and he stood there, kind of like a waiter. You know, he was sitting there and he was waiting to meet their needs. You know, kind of like the waiter maybe at a restaurant, and you're hoping that they will come fill your tea glass up. And if they want a good tip, they'll fill it up more than just once. And listen, if they want a really good tip, they'll make sure that just bring the pitcher and set it down here. Right? Now, we expect the waiter to do that, but can I tell you somebody more important than that is the Lord. The Lord. Listen, we ought to be standing by a tree, and we say, Lord, what do you want? And let me serve you. That's all it is about serving. And by the way, serving other people. So he was interested in their needs being met. And so he stands under the tree and waiting to meet their needs if something were to arise. And the Bible says those 3 men sat down and ate, but Abraham didn't sit down with them. But watch this in verse number 3 of Genesis chapter 19. Lot was interested in what he could get out of them being there. The Bible says that he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. He wasn't standing over by the tree. He pulled up a chair right there with him. So now you got these 2 men sitting there, and you got Lot sitting down with them. There was no servant's heart there. Why? What made the difference? A walk with God. Walk with God. You know, people show up, and they got their hand out, and they're wanting something, but you say, well, let's want you to be in church Sunday. Oh, well, I can't do that. Just give me what I came for and I'll be on my way. Well, no wonder they're always going like that, you know? Listen, David said, I once was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. And I'm not saying folks who show up and need help, everybody needs help once in a while. But can I tell you, if it's a consistent thing, there's a walk with God problem right there. Either they're not saved Or they're not walking with God. Because guess what? If we're doing the right thing and we're a saved, born-again child of God, guess what? We're not. Listen, God's going to take care of our needs. He promises to do that. So here's the last one. The one who walks with God will be unselfish, willing to serve, not be served. We live in a society and a generation where it's all about me and what can I get out of this? You go knock on the door on bus visitation and they say, hey, are you coming to church? Well, what are you having? Well, we're having church. Yeah, but what are you having? You know, church down the road, they're going to the bowling alley. What are you having? We're having church. We're going to open the Bible and read the Bible and talk about it. Well, I think I'm going to go down over here and go bowling. They're interested in not. Hey, what can I do to make it? Hey, tell me what you're doing. Just some thrill ride, excitement. You know, what can I get out of this? It'll not be what can I get out of this church. It's what can I give to this church. Not what can I get out of the Lord, but what can I give to the Lord? So the one who walks with God will be unselfish, willing to serve, not be served. Now notice this in Genesis chapter 18. Look at it, verse number 10. Right after this scenario happened, same scenario, but we've got several examples here of a difference a walk with God makes. In Genesis chapter 18, verse number 10, watch this. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And so right after he had a servant's attitude, because he had a consistent walk with God, and it made a huge difference in how he responded and how he reacted and how he served people. Right after that, these men were so impressed. He said, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a child in your old age. That was a pretty big blessing. But I want you to notice what happened in Lot's life. Look at Genesis chapter number 19 in verse number 4 and 5. Bible says, before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now that was a curse. That was a curse. Can I tell you? You say, well, I want blessings from God. Well, give him something to bless. Amen. Be blessable. Listen, if you're not spending time with him, then why should he take time to meet your wants and desires? But if you're spending time with him, guess what? You can mark her down. God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. Simply because you met with him to the point that, Lord, I want to please you. And God, I have a desire to live for you. And that desire will diminish and eventually disappear. And we'll be so interested in what we want to do. And it's all about us and how we feel, what we think, what we want to do, how it affects me. What about everybody else? What about the Lord Jesus? What does he think about it? What's his desire for your life? What's his desire for your marriage, for your child rearing, for your schooling? What's God's will for your life? See, we'll not be interested in any of that unless we have a meeting with God, we have a consistent walk with God. Because can I tell you, having a close personal walk with God will make a huge difference. Say, well, Brother Craig, I've got some issues in my life, and boy, God needs to step in and do something. Well, I tell you, get with him and meet him. Guess what? He can make a change. When you can't, he can give you the answer. And when you found none. But can I tell you, it's going to take a little bit of time and effort to read your Bible and pray, spend time with the Lord. But can I tell you, the dividends are far worth it. The benefits are far worth it.